Hello and welcome to the February edition of the Financial Insider Podcast. I'm Jamin Kirkwood, your host, and I'm joined with our marketing director, Kia Lee. How are you today, Kia?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Great. I'm fantastic. Thank you. And we've got some interesting topics we're going to talk about in today's session. We'll talk a little bit about the market, what's been going on the last month or so, and what's been responsible for a lot of those moves. And we've got some interesting questions also from clients this month about surrounding taxation. Of course, tax time, that's when everybody starts to look at how much they've got to pay to the government and possible ways to reduce that. Unfortunately, we're all going to have something we have to pay usually. And we'll talk about some changes that are coming to Social Security, a new law that was actually passed and will go into place May of this year. But let's start talking about what's been going on in the markets, and probably, you know, you've seen your investments bouncing around quite a bit. Volatile start to 2016. I mean, no real way about it. As we broadcast today, it's February the 18th, we're coming off 3 days of gains, which is a nice change from what's been happening recently. I wouldn't let that lead you to complacency. As we spoke in our last broadcast, the outlook we see for 2016 is pretty volatile. We think it's going to keep moving around. And, you know, just to expand that a little bit more, that's not unusual, right? The last few years, we've been lulled into a little bit of a false sense of security, with the markets being relatively stable in more or less a constant uptrend to various degrees. But volatility in down markets are normal. We recently had a presentation where we talked about the 2016 outlook, and it was interesting. One of the slides we had there showed how even in big years of increases, 2009 was a huge year for an increase in the markets, but the markets at some point were down significantly that year. Happened in 2010, 2011, even though the markets were up those years, there were times that during the year that they were down significantly. So, you know, this volatility, be prepared because it will more than likely extend. But, you know, interestingly, the last 3 days, like I mentioned, have been good, a nice break from a lot of the roughness that we've had. But again, you know, there's been things that have been catalysts. There's reasons that has happened. And I'll touch on and just share with you a few of those reasons that have happened. You know, it was Chinese New Year last week, so we got a bit of a break from the Chinese markets influencing us too much. But when they opened up again, basically the Chinese equivalent of the Federal Reserve came out and said, hey, we're going to stop depreciating our currency. China had been putting a lot of down pressure on their currency, the yuan, and that was causing trouble in the markets because that then affects the exporting environment around the world. And he said, hey, you know, we're gonna start to stabilize our currency a little bit more. That was good because the markets like stability. The European Central Bank came out and said, hey, you know, things don't look that bad, and if things turn negative, we're here to provide support. That was some good news. Last week we had Janet Yellen, the chairman of the Federal Reserve, coming out and saying, look, you know, we're aware that the markets have been upset with this interest rate raise. They were talking about doing 4 to 6 raises this year. That's probably not going to happen. You know, we might get a couple this year at best. The markets liked hearing that as well. And, you know, interestingly, right now, there seems to be a pretty significant disconnect from the economy and the stock market. You know, the economy and the stock market are not the same thing. I'd point that out. You know, we've got low unemployment. There's plenty of jobs around. Wages are starting to go up. You know, I filled my truck up again. It got even cheaper than last time I spoke with you. I filled it up last week and it was about $44. That's an extra $70, $80 I've got in my pocket that I didn't used to have. So consumers have more money. We don't see the negativity in the numbers that we're seeing in the stock market, right? It seems to be a bit of a disconnect. So again, I'd preach caution on that and no overreaction, because the numbers and the analytics that we're getting from the economy don't necessarily line up with the volatility that we're seeing in the stock market. So a couple of things to think about there. And one thing that I will just touch on as well is you know, I was at an investment meeting just last week, and this was a conversation that a lot of the planners there were having. It seems like there's still a lot of fear in the environment around what happened in 2008. Understandably, right? A lot of people saw their investments cut in half. Some people had to delay their retirement. Some people lost their houses. Even though that's, 8 years ago now, almost, a lot of that fear is still around. And this is just my personal belief. You know, I think a lot of that is manifesting itself in the stock market right now. People are scared of what happened, even though it was 8 years ago. And the second anything looks concerning, they're going to go ahead and pull that trigger, whether the data supports it or not, because there's just so much fear around. So if, of course, as always, you know, if anything comes up that we feel is important, we'll reach out to all of you, our clients, and update you on it. Concerns you have at 210-428-6250. And before we close out, I always like to try and address a few questions that we've had come in from clients over the last month or so, because you know, there's a chance that if someone's asking that question, you may have that question as well. So Q, we've got a couple of questions. What's the first one we have?
The first one from our client is they owe taxes this year and they want to know what they can do to reduce it.
Okay. Before I answer that question, I'm not a tax preparer or a CPA. So I understand how taxes work, but I don't, you know, I'm not giving tax advice. But this question comes up about this time every year, between now and April 15th, right? Because that's when everyone's looking at their taxes. For most individuals, the best thing you can do to try and help your tax situation right now is contribute as much as you can pre-tax to your 401k. I know it sounds like a very boring and, you know, not very imaginative solution, but frankly, that's it. You know, I don't like paying taxes like anybody else, but the fact is, if you want to live in a society where you have roads and police and all that sort of stuff, you know, we're going to have to pay taxes. You know, but we all want to look at ways to minimize it. Unless you have, you know, a business or some other sort of interest that you can use as a tax vehicle, for most individuals, you know, maxing out your 401k, or if you don't have a 401k, maxing out your IRA pre-tax is your best option, more than likely. What else do we have, Q?
We also had a client call and ask about the new law on Social Security.
Okay, yeah. Probably what they were referencing with the new law on Social Security is last year, Congress passed a law that would stop a filing strategy called claim and suspend. So what you used to be able to do, and this goes into effect, I believe it's May of this year. What you used to be able to do is, once you reached your full retirement age, and this only worked if you were married, you could file for your Social Security benefit and then automatically basically put it on hold and not take it. And what that did was, it actually opened up the opportunity for your spouse to file a spousal benefit off of your Social Security. I know it sounds kind of confusing, but basically it was a way to access some Social Security benefits for a spouse while allowing the other side of the benefit, the other spouse's benefit, to continue growing and receiving what's called delayed credits, increasing their existing benefit. I'm probably not explaining this that well. If it's something that you're concerned about or you want to learn more about, you know, give me a call. Give us a call at the office, 210-428-6250. But essentially, it's an extra restriction that they're putting on Social Security. And what this is all tied into is, you know, the Social Security issue comes up every now and then. And, you know, a popular question I get a lot is, well, is Social Security going to be there for me? I'm worried that I'm relying on this benefit, and maybe I get to retirement and it's gone. And, you know, my response to that always is that, you know, I've got 30 years. I'm 34. I have, you know, about 30 years. I think Social Security will be there even when I retire. It's just going to look very different. There has to be changes made to Social Security, and politically it's a very difficult thing to do. But fixing that trust fund so it goes on in perpetuity, financially and numbers-wise, it can be done very easily. It's just politically it's hard to do. I think some of the things you're going to start to see are more restrictions placed on the different ways you can file for Social Security, like this file and or claim and suspend option is going away. I think you'll see more restrictions put on it. The age that you can start collecting, I think you'll see it raised. You know, you can get early Social Security right now at 62. I fully expect by the time I come to collect, it's not going to be 62. It might be 70. It might be 75. There's a lot of things they can do to fix the trust fund, raise the retirement age. Right now, you only pay Social Security taxes on the first $120,000 you earn, right? So if you're fortunate enough to make more than $120,000, everything over that amount, you're currently not paying Social Security taxes on. They will probably end up raising that amount. Maybe they'll raise it to 250. Maybe they'll take the cap off completely and you'll pay Social Security taxes on everything that you make. There's lots of different ways that they can fix that. So when we do our planning for retirement, you know, we include Social Security in it because we think it will be there. It'll look different, but it will still be there. And we'll go ahead and end the session today on those questions. Again, please understand, nothing that we talk about here is considered an investment recommendation. I certainly encourage you to talk with either us here at the office or your own advisor about your particular situation before making any investment decisions. And I look forward to speaking with you next month.